which gospel was preached by whom and when. And we've gone through defining the gospels according to Scripture, what good news applied to who, when, and that there was good news that was besides the good news of salvation. There's only one way to be saved today, only one gospel that works today. But in the time before Israel was cast away in the last half chapter of Acts, there was a gospel for Israel, a separate gospel, a gospel of the kingdom. They were promised the land. They were promised that they would rule the earth, that they would be the head and not the tail. That's all good news to them. That's all gospel to them. But not now. They've been cast away. Right now, the only gospel that works is that Christ died for our sins, and we now this is which gospel? This is which gospel? It's for today's date, 7-1. It should be 2001-07-01. Yes, welcome here, free all butterflies. Glad you're with us today. We're studying the Word of God about the Gospels, and we'll get into that right away. If you can turn to Galatians 2:7. We've seen when we reviewed the Gospels, one of the Gospels we saw in the book of Revelation 14, chapter 14, verse 6, we saw, and 7, we saw an angel flying in the air preaching the gospel called the everlasting gospel. And it was the gospel of good news for God that he was finally, after centuries and millenniums of offering the gospel of grace, that has come, that will have come to a close, and he will be exercising the other part of his nature, of his attributes, wrath. And so that it's good news that the good has won out. But we saw the gospel preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was a Jewish message. It was for Israel. And it was called the gospel of the kingdom. We're not looking for a kingdom from heaven on earth. That was promised to Israel. It was not promised to the body of Christ. Yes, that was a Jewish message. It was Christ said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he sent his apostles out in the same way. He said, go ye not into the way of the Gentiles. So we have to go later to find his message to us. We have to go where he revealed it from heaven to Paul, starting in Acts 9. How do we know he was talking about Jews? Because that's who he came to. That's who he was sent to throughout the Old Testament scriptures. There was no such thing as a Jew in those days. The Bible talks about them. That's good enough for me. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says. That's the gospel that saves us today. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So, it's in the Bible, and I'm not sure where you're getting your information, but I'll believe the Bible. In fact, if you look at the... Oh, when I reopened the room, I didn't put the banner up there. But we do go by the Bible here. That's our final authority. And we readjust our own opinions according to what the Bible says. So, let's go on. We saw Peter also. He preached basically the same message as Israel's message of the gospel of the kingdom in the book of Acts. The same message that had been preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Peter has new information, though. Christ has been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead by the time Peter preaches in early Acts. And Peter says it was so that he would sit on David's throne. That's why Christ was raised from the dead. Well, he's not sitting on David's throne. My information is fact. If you look in a Bible, such as the 1611 version, you will not find the word Jew. Okay. The Bible for us today does talk about Jews back then, and I'm sorry if you don't want to agree with the Bible, but we are going to go with what the Bible says. So, Peter's message and his doctrine in early Acts pertains to a specific group of people. And it's called the gospel of the circumcision. That group of people was the circumcision. Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews, those people living there in what for centuries has been called Palestine until it was named by the United Nations, named a United Nations state called Israel, which is not the regathering of Israel that God will do. But that will be a holy nation. It will be a kingdom of priests to the rest of the world. So, when Paul was saved, he was given a different doctrine. In fact, he had to be saved by a different doctrine. That was Saul of Tarsus that stood there holding the coats in agreement when Israel stoned Stephen, speaking words to them from the Holy Ghost. Saul of Tarsus had blasphemed the Holy Ghost and was unforgivable in Israel's doctrine, in Israel's program. So Paul was saved with different doctrine into a different group. It was the beginning of the body of Christ. And there had to be a distinction made. Peter's message had to be identified as another gospel. And it was Paul and Paul's gospel that it was different from. That Paul was the one stating that. Paul's gospel is the one that lasts today. So Paul's gospel then was referred to in a private meeting in Jerusalem with Peter and James and John. It was referred to, Paul's gospel was referred to as the gospel of the uncircumcision. I almost goofed it up again. I don't know. Every time I get to that verse, I get those twisted. I know it in my head, but the words come out wrong. So let's read the verse. Galatians 2:7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's Paul speaking in Galatians, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, committed unto, being understood in that part. But before any salvation message can be preached, first, the identity of the Savior has to be made clear. And that's the reason for the gospel of God that God has given us. Just a moment, please. And we can see the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is, being preached by both Peter and Paul. It's unnecessary. That's the foundation that Paul talks about, that the body of Christ is built on. He laid the foundation in 1 Corinthians 15, 10 through verses 10 through 15. And Peter, who did I say? Paul is the one in 1 Corinthians. Peter also, the church that Peter is preaching in and bringing people into, that Matthew 16 church, it was founded on Christ too. It was also on the foundation of Christ. And they preached the gospel, the facts about Christ, the gospel of God. So, but that's one of the few similarities between them. They have the same God, the same Jesus. Same foundation, different buildings, different groups, and different doctrine, different destination. One, the land. Israel goes to the land, everlasting life on the land, in the land, and we have a home eternal in the heavens. Our vile bodies will be changed to be like His glorious body. So then, after it is clear that Jesus is the one spoken of in prophecy, that He is the Lord, He's the Son of God, proven to be by the resurrection from the dead. Once those facts are understood, then a gospel message based on those facts can be preached. So the Romans believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ. They did have faith. They believed He was the Christ, the Son of God, and that He had raised from the dead. God had raised Him from the dead. The Gentiles to whom Romans was written have probably also previously believed in some type of messianic message, something from the synagogues in the area, you know, as they are said to have been grafted in. So they must have been either circumcised, Gentiles that became circumcised to be proselyted into Israel, into that olive tree, or somehow. Paul is talking about them either blessing Israel or being circumcised as being grafted in to that olive tree in Romans 11, verses, 17 to 24, I believe it is. And we cover that in more detail in the Romans series on the website. So the Thessalonians had not heard any message before Paul arrived, but neither the Romans nor the Thessalonians are established in their faith with just that information about who Jesus Christ is, that He's the risen Messiah. That doesn't establish anyone, and that doesn't save anyone. So, with that information, Paul preached to the Romans and established them in the gospel of Christ. That's why he's not ashamed of it. Silas and Timotheus established the Thessalonians in the gospel of Christ. And we can review that. Let's look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith," there it is, "your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." So they did come to faith in Christ as their Savior, in the gospel of Christ, the saving gospel. So Paul's gospel, the gospel of Christ, is preached all the way through the book of Acts. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it's to two groups of people. You can see that in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And this is the same kind of wording as we see in Romans, we don't have to go there, but Romans 3:22, where it talks about the righteousness of God is to everyone, but it's upon all them which believe. And here it says it's the power of God unto salvation. Period. I mean, it is. It's God's power to save people, but it's to everyone that believeth. It's that salvation comes to those who believe. It's available to everyone, but only to those who believe receive that salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those are the two groups of people. But he goes on and he says they're the same. They're in the same category. Romans 3:22, there is no difference. The two groups of people, all the way through Acts, you can see Paul preaching. And he's preaching the gospel of Christ to them that are called. And he says, well, look in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 22 to 23 and 4, through 24. "For the Jews," here he's talking to the Jews require a sign. "And the Greeks," there's the other group, "seek after wisdom. But we preach," but, in other words, in opposition to that, or in supplement to that, "we preach Christ crucified." Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. I mean, it's not the answer to either what they're looking for, but it's what they need. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. What is the power of God? It's the power of God to save us, is the gospel of Christ. That Christ died for our sins, and believe on him to life everlasting. All the way through the book of Acts, you can see both groups, both the Jews and the Gentiles, being saved and becoming members of the body of Christ by the preaching of Paul. So you've got both Jews and Gentiles coming into the body of Christ, and you had both Jews and proselytes or God-fearing Gentiles in Israel's program. So you can't just call it a Gentile church or a Jewish church. It has to do with the kingdom. The one does, the Israel's church. Well, there I just called it Israel. But it's a kingdom church, really. It's a little flock. But regarding the body of Christ, it's the body of Christ. I mean, it's not just Gentiles in it. When you hear people talking about the Gentile church they don't understand the difference between the two groups there, the two entities of God. They think that it's just the Gentiles, and the Jews are the two different groups, but that's not it. So the Gentiles who are being saved turn out to be, you know, in Israel's group there, turn out to be the God-fearing Gentiles who have associated themselves with Israel in the past. And Paul went to those synagogues and he preached to those God-fearing Gentiles as well as to the Jews. And some got saved, some didn't believe, but some did. The whole book of Acts is the record of the blinding and casting away of the nation of Israel. And the whole thing culminates in the last half chapter of the book, in Acts 28. And you know, there are religions that are named after that, but we're not one of them. We're just talking about that particular event today, or right now. It says the Jews departed. That's, I think, verse 28 or 29. The Jews departed. That they had great reasoning. Well, great reasoning. They're still going on with great reasoning today, and philosophy and stuff. It doesn't save them. They've gone away from their Messiah, from the offer of a kingdom, and from the redemption that God has purchased for them. So there are Jews and Gentiles, and those Gentiles turn out to be the Greeks. King James Bible calls them the Greeks. They are called Greeks. And Paul preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And his message is called the gospel of Christ. But then there is a turn of events. After spending 3 years in Ephesus, Paul leaves. And let's look in 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So he left. Paul left Asia and went over into Europe, into Macedonia. And there's little record written by Luke in the book of Acts of what he did there, what Paul did. Luke merely says in Acts 20 and 21, and 21, 2, and 3, we'll get those verses. And I'm sensing that I somehow messed up that verse list, and I apologize. So we're going to Acts. This will be Acts 20, verse 1, and the following couple verses there. But thank you for posting those for us, Linda. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. So it says Paul went over those parts, gave them exhortation, you know, exhorted them, called them to what they should believe. And he came to Greece, and it was from Greece that Paul wrote the Roman letter. And you can see that in Acts 20, verse 3. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. In other words, go by land up north again instead of crossing, going down to the boat docks where they're waiting for him. So he went on land back up through Macedonia and then sailed from there in safety. Hi, Norm. Good to see you. So the Jews are hounding Paul again, and he's going to sail into Syria. Syria being the where you get off the boat to go up the mountain there to the higher elevation where Jerusalem is. He was going to a feast of some sort. So then we see in Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi, which is up there in Macedonia, chief city in Macedonia. In fact, we're told we sailed away from Macedonia after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. And it's identified elsewhere, actually in Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16, that this is where this sailing away from Philippi and coming unto Troas, somewhere in there, in that period, in the sailing away, when he left Macedonia, is when that when he was actually received that sending to all men. You know, he was told about it. Jesus Christ told him in the temple back in Acts 18:22, that he would be sent to all men. But he didn't receive that until he sailed away from Macedonia. And this is that sailing away from Philippi, Macedonia, where he received it. And he came, where did he go first? He went to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. He stayed there 7 days. And you have his sermon there, and that he talked and talked and talked. He had so much to talk about. You know, before Paul knew he was going to be sent to all men, nobody imagined that this gospel would go to all people, to those, you know, riotous rock throwers, to the ones that wanted to keep their idol worship, you know, their idol making business. Those people on the other side of the center line there that were causing the riots in Ephesus, on the other side there is the people he's going to now to preach the gospel. The cursed Gentiles, not the God-fearing Gentiles. And so he goes there and he preaches, and wouldn't you know it, he preaches so long the guy falls asleep and falls out of the third-story window and dies. And Paul goes down and brings him back to life. So anyway, he continues on his way until he comes to Miletus. And it's a seaport not far from Ephesus. And he sends for the elders. Those, you know, remember, the elders were the ones designated to distribute the food, collect the funds, and bring the funds together and get it sent to Jerusalem for the food for the poor saints in Jerusalem who had sold all to bring in the kingdom in that other group of believers that believed the kingdom gospel. And so these elders, he sends for them, and they come down and he talks to them by the seashore there, or in the village there of Miletus, which is near the seashore. And we can pick that up in Acts 20, verse 18, and we'll go through at least 24. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Paul speaking to the elders from the church in Ephesus, you know from the first day that I came into Asia what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept back nothing nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So he's reviewing what he has done in the past up till now. He says, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greeks. Up till now, it's been the Jew first and also the Greek. Testifying repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's this the new name for the gospel, since it's got new conditions now. I mean, it's the same salvation message, but the conditions have changed. He's going to all men now, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, those God-fearing Gentiles in the synagogues. So Paul tells them that he has received a ministry of the Lord, and he tells them what it is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul goes on to Jerusalem. The Jews from Asia catch him. They find him in the temple, and they try to kill him. And he's rescued by the Romans. This is all the way back in Jerusalem here. They catch him in the temple. And when he's rescued by the Romans, he asks to speak to the people, and he speaks to them in the Hebrew tongue. And he tells them of a vision that he had from the Lord. And he tells, and let's read it. Starting in Acts 22, verse 17. let me just get a verse up here. Hold on a second. Acts 22:17. And I'm not sure if you're going by the list or not, but the list doesn't have verses 19 and 20. But, well, let's go ahead. 17 and 18 and 21 are the relevant to this section. Let's read it. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him, saw Christ, saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee, I will. There's a future thing that's going to happen. He's going to send him far hence unto the Gentiles. He's not sending him from the temple. He's sending him out of the temple, yeah, to get out of there in a hurry so that he doesn't get killed by the Jews who won't receive his testimony of what God told him, what Jesus Christ told him. So he says, what I'm going to do, what they're not going to receive, is that I'm sending you far hence unto the Gentiles, not to the nearby ones. Paul describes the difference in Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 17. And I'm not sure if I don't think I've got that in the list. Could we look at those? If we could pull up Ephesians 2, verse 13, and then Ephesians 2, verse 17. So, but Paul says he became a prisoner for you Gentiles. In fact, he was preaching to you Gentiles, the Gentiles that were not in the synagogues, the cursed Gentiles. So we see in Ephesians 2, 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off, there are the far off Gentiles, us and those idol makers in Ephesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not at the cross, but by the cross, by the blood of Christ. And they weren't told about it until you hear it here in Ephesians. And Ephesians 2:17, again he says, and came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to them that are, that were nigh. So there were two groups. There were those that were nigh, the Jew first, and also the Greek, those God-fearing Gentiles. And then there were those that were far off. The idol worshippers, the catfish eaters, you know, those that had no regard for the Sabbath, people like us. We were far off, and he came and preached the gospel to us. That was that sending that Christ said he would send him in the future, would send him when he told them about it in the temple, and that finally came in Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Macedonia. So let's go to Ephesians 3:1, and we see that Paul is a prisoner now. He was taken captive for his own protection in Jerusalem when the Jews from Asia came and tried to accuse him of a crime worthy of death and tried to kill him, in fact. So we see in Ephesians 3:1 and 2, and then we'll jump down to 8, but verse 8, Ephesians 3:1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you word, given me to you word." So now is the first time that he ever mentions this dispensation of the grace of God. He's mentioned, you know, the dispensation of the gospel that started when he was saved or shortly after. You know, depending on how you read those verses, it either happened that dispensation of the gospel started in either Acts 9 or Acts 13, most likely, depending on how you read it. So, we've got the gospel of God is one gospel. We've got the gospel of Christ that Paul preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Romans 1:16. And now we've got the gospel of the grace of God. It's named differently because it is different. It's the same gospel message preached to different people. The gospel of the grace of God pertains to the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul says that it was a mystery, that you couldn't prove it by the Old Testament scriptures. It wasn't there. There was no way. He said it was unsearchable. Look at Ephesians 3:8 and 9. "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Not the searchable riches that Gentiles, according to Genesis 12:3, would be blessed by coming to Israel and blessing Israel. That's searchable riches to the Gentiles. Not those Jew first and the Greeks in the synagogues that Paul preached the same message that we're saved by, that Christ died for your sins. Not them. But the unsearchable riches of Christ to those who were in the Old Testament, they were cursed. They were not blessed with the gospel. They were cursed. So, Ephesians 3:9, "And to make all men see," not the Jew first and also the Greek, "but to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God." Hid till now, till he's telling us here. "Who created all things by Jesus Christ." So, there is a progress of revelation. He's not saying it was hid until that first time when I received the whole ball of wax, the whole thing. No, this was hid until he tells us now. So the Gentiles to whom Paul wrote the Ephesian letter, they didn't come to Christ through the law. They didn't come to Christ by blessing Israel. They didn't hear Paul preach in all those synagogues of the Jews. They weren't the Jew first and also the Greek. These Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were without God and without hope in the world because they didn't take that exception that God made for Gentiles in Genesis 12:3. They didn't bless Israel. That was a way that uncircumcised Gentiles could be blessed of God, and they could come in under those promises. Galatians 4:28, they were in the promises. So Israel, the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God had a beginning, and we can look in Philippians 4:15 that we mentioned briefly before. Colossians 4:15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The beginning of the gospel, he says it was when he left Macedonia. It wasn't when he was on the road to Damascus and got saved. You'd think maybe that's the beginning of the gospel, and it was the beginning of a gospel, but not the gospel he's talking about here. It wasn't, other times in when he received revelations. He's talking about that time when he departed from Macedonia instead of from Athens there, when he was going down to the ship docks, and he realized that those Jews were waiting for him to kill him, and so he went back up through Achaia, through Greece, up to Macedonia, and departed from Philippi, sailed away from Philippi in Acts 20, verse 6, when I departed from Macedonia. That was the beginning of the gospel. Nobody else was helping Paul. Nobody was supporting Paul. Only those Philippians. They did it, and all that were in Asia, those people that Paul had met on the seashore in Acts 20, all those people that Paul preached to for 3 years in Ephesus and Asia, they had left Paul. They had all turned away. And we can see that in 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So Paul said that only Luke is with me. Everyone had deserted Paul. But he had said that none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. God had given him a course to go through, to do. And he wanted to finish that course with joy. And he did. Let me get a sip here just a moment, please. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy 4:7. We find out he did finish his course. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, all gospels are not the same gospel. We have looked at several gospels written about in the Bible. People are told there's only one gospel, and instead of checking it out like the Bible tells us to, we need to study to find out what things are true and accept what the Bible says, not what the preacher says or what I say or your parents or whatever. We've looked at several of the gospels and gone into some detail about some of them. The gospel of the kingdom. You've heard of that probably. That God is sending a kingdom to Israel, and Christ will return and rule in that kingdom on earth. Then there's the gospel of God. It's God's testimony about who Jesus Christ is, written about in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. And you can read that, and believe what your Bible tells you. If you've got a trustworthy Bible, if you've got a Bible with mistakes in it, it won't help you to read it. Get a King James Bible. There are no mistakes in it. And you can find self-contradictions that prove in other Bibles, the ones from the Alexandrian text. They may be perfect translations of that flawed text, but it's still a flawed Alexandrian text. And it's got self-contradictions in it. And the Bible, the Word of God, is pure. So Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 tell us the Word of God is pure. Pure means without a flaw in it, without a single impurity, without error. And God tells us in verse 7 that He preserves it forever. That means through this year, through 2011, 2012, forever, on beyond, we have the errorless Word of God. Well, if you've got a book that has errors in it, of course you're not looking at it. You need to get a King James Bible. In there we find the gospel of God about who Jesus Christ is, that basically that he's the risen Messiah, resurrected Messiah. Then we find the gospel or good news of Christ, that Christ tells us what he did for us, that he died for our sins, and that by believing that, you are saved. Are saved. Not are waiting to be saved like Israel. It says their sins will be blotted out when Christ returns. Acts 3:19 and 20 and 21. Their sins will be blotted out after they have endured to the end. All those endure to the end statements are about Israel, not about us. We're already saved once we believe. Not only saved, we're sealed. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Let me get it right. It's important. The words are, every word is right, is important to get right. Finally, another gospel that we've looked at, the gospel of the grace of God, which is the same salvation message. It's the message we're saved by today, the one we just mentioned. It's just that instead of being to the Jew first and also to the Greek, like the gospel of Christ, it's to all people that Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 4:17. He says that he's going to all people, to all the Gentiles, that all the Gentiles might hear. Not just some of them that were, you know, he went to Gentiles. I'm trying to think when he was sent. It says he was sent to Gentiles in Acts 9. Verse 15, Ananias tells him, or Christ tells Ananias to tell him. And in Acts 26, Paul reports back about Acts 9 that he was sent to Gentiles. Not to all Gentiles. It's changing the Word of God to add the word all there. Because later in Acts 20, verse 6, Philippians 4:15 tells us that was the time that Christ told him to start going to all people with the gospel. Not that, you know, if a Gentile that was a pork eater or not a Sabbath keeper, not a God-fearer, it's not that if one of them had heard Paul preach in Acts 13 that he wouldn't have been saved if he believed. They would have. It's just that Paul wasn't sent to them. He didn't write to them. The doctrine that he wrote was about how to be saved, the way we're saved, but it also had additional information in those early books. Additional information about the remnant that doesn't exist today. There's no relevance to us. Just like in those prison epistles that Paul wrote, it doesn't have anything in there about the remnant, bringing in the remnant according to the election of grace, that they might choose the grace gospel instead of choosing the kingdom gospel. And because God knew at that time that Israel was in a diminishing phase, climaxing at the last half chapter of Acts, when they would be cut off. They would, well, it's called cut off in other places. It's called cast away in other places. And in Acts 28, it's called blinding. And it's not the in part blinding that you read about in Romans 11, 7. Romans 11, 7. It's total blinding. It's just plain blinding. So that's when they stopped being God's people and God stopped being their God. He will again be their God, but for now, they can only come to God. They're not special anymore. They're common like we are. They have to come to God the way we do, by admitting they're a sinner and believing that Christ died for those sins and that you are forgiven by Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection. So, I hope this helps us see what gospel was preached when. And we're going to close this study with the next verse, I want you to think which appearing, though, it might be that Paul is talking about here. Let's read it. 2 Timothy 4:8. And he does mention his appearing. So let's read it. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, we know that those who are saved by grace through faith are looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But could Paul have been, you know, thinking of something else? Could he have had something else in mind another time, another appearing of the Lord? I think he was thinking of the Acts 9 appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus when our salvation was first introduced. And Paul was the first one saved that way. He obviously couldn't have been saved into the kingdom because he had blasphemed the Holy Ghost and was unsavable, unforgivable in that doctrine system of Israel. So God started something new, something brand new. And, it's 1 o'clock. We'll see if Scott comes on. I couldn't find
him. You are the next trending topic. You are the next breath of fresh air.
Hold on.
You are the next sensation.
When I get older,
the HTC Sensation 4G, instantly connecting you to just about everything. Available at T-Mobile.
Sorry about that. They've got to play their commercial, and I had it set to come on so we wouldn't miss Scott's live broadcast coming up. But I'm still not sure if he's on today, so if he comes on, we'll go to it. If not, we have another lesson here. I don't see anything from Scott in the email. The appearing that it spoke about, unto all them that love his appearing, what do you think? I think that's what I think. I think he's talking about those that love the gospel that was initiated at that time, that started to be offered to us at Acts 9, when Paul was saved, the first one to be saved into the body of Christ, saved with the gospel of Christ died for our sins, believe it and be saved. It wasn't offered before. It wasn't even known about before. None of the other people in the Bible before Paul were saved by that gospel. They were saved. They were being saved by the kingdom gospel, which they had to endure to the end, to in the end be saved. There's a difference there. It's a different gospel. It's a gospel about a kingdom coming, not about your personal, your sins and your transgressions and trespasses all being forgiven. Read the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, or in Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. It's much different than the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached to Israel only, and only offered to Israel, and that he only sent his apostles to Israel offering. You can read that gospel of the kingdom in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. There is no similarity. Okay? So, Paul, he could have had in mind what the Lord had said to him, that he would be a witness of these things that had happened in Acts chapter 9, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Doesn't it seem likely to you? I think that's probably what he was talking about, that appearing there in Acts 9. So we'll conclude the lesson with that and open it up for any questions. By the way, this was these notes were prepared by Jim Bracken, and we thank him for that good trail of the verses that we followed.